to their faith much anymore. But the church kind of invented the hospital and invented it because it became a need, and they got to say, we need a place where people can go to get healed. And so the church got very involved in that. And sadly today, most churches build gyms and classrooms and sports complexes and huge auditoriums, but we've gotten out of the hospital business. And that's a little sad. And so it behooves the church then to say, well, if we don't have hospitals anymore, what do we have? And I believe we have prayer. I believe we have the prayer of effective Christians gathering together, praying for healing, praying for that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to go through this kind of lightning speed on a couple things, and then I'm going to slow down on some things. And so where I go fast, I'm just going to assume that you're going to grasp onto what I'm saying pretty quickly, and the things that go slower are the things that I probably struggle with, and some of you may struggle with them also. So I want to point out three mistakes that I see in the church today, that I see in the world today about divine healing, because I believe in divine healing with all my heart, but I believe there's a lot of misconceptions out there today. So the first one is this, and it's perpetuated by the TV church, I would say, that you can buy your healing, that you can buy your healing by giving a tithe. So if you give so much, you will get a healing. And that simply isn't true. And I'm not going to go into a lot of that. I will just say this. You can't bribe God to do a miracle in your life by giving an offering. It is not going to happen. Now, some of you are wondering, you say, well, Jeff, there's people on TV doing this stuff, and are they truly believers? And I'm going to say, are they fakes? Are they phonies? What are they? And I'm saying this, and it goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to judge them. God will judge them. God will judge them. I'm not going to sit here and say they are or they are. That's not me. So the first mistake is you can't get your healing by giving. The second mistake is this. It's never God's will for me to be sick. And I've heard some great teachers on TV, those words come out of their mouth. That has never, you can take in your mind and you can be sure that you're not going to be sick anymore. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. That's a bunch of hooey, folks. Because God doesn't necessarily want everybody to be well. Otherwise, we would never die. There's no basis to that. The Bible teaches that problems are in this life, that pain and suffering are in this life. And yes, even illness and death are in this life. And it's a short process for building our Christ-like character. Pain builds character in us. When you suffer, when you hurt, you are being built. God wants and allows for us to go through the things that we do because he wants to shape us. And boy, that's hard to hear. That's hard to hear if you're here today and you have cancer. That's hard to hear today if you know somebody that just got that prognosis. That's hard to hear somebody you know that's struggling with a health issue. It's hard to hear that. 1 Peter says this, 4:19. I'm coming to James, I promise. Those who suffer according to the will of God, in God's will, shall commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do so. According to God's will. See, here's the proof text on this one. Notice that phrase, those who suffer according to God's will. Sometimes you get sick and it's God's will. It's not your fault. It's part of living in a broken down world. It's part of living in a world that was made and that is made to decay because of sin, and it breaks apart. If you remember when we started the book of James, in the very first, he said, don't be surprised when you have troubles and trials and pains. Don't be shocked by it. Oh no, I'm sick. Oh no, I have cancer. Oh no, I have this thing or that thing. Jesus said in John 16:13, in this world, you will have trouble. Any preacher who says to you, God's will is for you not to be sick or not to be in pain, they're not reading the Word of God. And I'll leave it there. Now, I'm not saying that we can't take our faith and say, we're going to be in faith, we're going to be healed. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to say that it's God's will to never be sick, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. The third mistake in looking at the mistakes is a quick one I'll go over. Christians who say that miracles ended up with the completion of the Bible. There's whole denominations. There's whole people in different kinds of churches today that will tell you that miracles ended when Jesus died. And that's not true. That's not true. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same teacher, leader he was 2,000 years ago, and he is going to be a preacher, he's going to be a teacher, and he's going to be a healer, and he set us up to do the same things. Now read along with me, James 5, 13 through 18. Here we go. If this seems familiar, it's because we did it 2 weeks ago. Here we go. Are you hurting? Are you hurting? Maybe you are. Then you don't have to go. I'm asking you, are you hurting? Some of you better shake your head, yes. Not just pain from physical hurt. You're hurting in your heart. You're hurting in your spirit. You're hurting. Are you hurting? Listen. Then you should pray. Then you should pray. Are you happy? Then you should sing songs of praise. Are you sick? Then you should call the church elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick person. Well, that's pretty strange. The Lord will raise him up, and if you sin, you'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a believing person is powerful and effective. For example, says James, Elijah was a human being just like us, and when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, so there was no rain 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it poured down, and everything began to grow. What a great, great passage of Scripture. Now, this is what, as we read this passage that we read 2 weeks ago, and we're reading it again today, it says that Elijah prayed, and everything began to grow. I want you to hear that. Elijah prayed, and everything began to grow. And today, my prayer for you, I'm praying for things to start growing in your life, a growing love for God, a growing love for the lost, a growing love for those that are hurting, a growing love in your heart, that it would start to grow again, that it would get so big that you would take your eyes off of me and start to put them on thee, on somebody else. So many people need healing today, not just those who are sick physically. See, 2 weeks ago, we used this passage to talk about being weak. As if we're weak, God's strong. And today, we're talking about the other part, the sickness part, okay? Those who are physically sick, those who are financially sick, those who are here hurting because of fear or something like that. James mentions prayer 7 times in this passage. 7 times. He didn't want you to miss the point. And here it is. Healing comes through prayer. Not through healers. Not through anything else. But healing comes through prayers of those who have the effective prayer. We'll talk about what does that mean. So, when should I pray for healing? There's the question a lot of people would like to know, because you are supposed to be a person who prays for those who are sick. Yes, the elders have a little bit more, but you particularly are supposed to be praying for those people who are sick. So when should I pray for healing? Number one is, when should I pray for healing? You pray for these. If you'll pull this next thing right here. Are you hurting? There's a word there in that passage of Scripture. It means equals having trouble suffering. So are you hurting? I'm not going to say it because I'll butcher it, But are you hurting? There it is. It's in that. Are you sick? There's the Greek word, equals feeling weak or sick. And then the sick person, the kamino, weary and feel like giving up. You ever weary and feel like giving up? That covers, doesn't that kind of cover most of the things? So based on those three things just said in that passage, here's the answer to that question. When should I pray? Here it is. Anytime you're hurting, for anytime you're sick or tired or empty, anytime that you need prayer, you pray. You should pray for healing. You should pray believing that you're going to be healed. Those words describe the totality of most of our lives in here today. We are at one point or another, or you're getting ready to go into one of those things where you're tired, where you're empty, or where you're just plain sick and you've got something going on. One of the reasons I know that I'm a little bit more passionate about this is because I've been alive for 66 years, and I've always powered through all my sicknesses. I've had little ones, but they've been like gnats. Since March, I've been dealing with this heart issue, and I have really been searching God's word more because I'm a believer in God healing people, and it means a lot to me. When people pray, it means a lot. When I go pray with somebody, I take it very seriously because I believe when God hears our voice, he listens. He listens. And he takes it very, very seriously. And I want you to grasp onto this too, because I think most of you have people who are hurting. You have people in your lives that are hurting. And one of the things you're probably not doing is you're not praying for those people. You're not praying for people in the body. You're not praying for the people. You just kind of make it, you know, second nature. It's not even part of nature. It just kind of goes away. And so I want to really challenge you today to look at the way that you pray for people. And it's time to pray for healing in people's lives. It's time to pray for healing in your life. Because if you're here today and any one of those words describes you, God wants you to be praying for that healing. I didn't say he wants you to be healed. Did you notice what I said? He wants you to be praying for that healing. Now, it is God's will for a lot of us to get healing. And there's also, I have been at a lot of bedsides in hospitals over the years, and I prayed believing with everything I have, and they still pass. They still pass. And it breaks my heart every time. Every time. And then I have to go and I have to have a pity party with myself for a second and say, God, why didn't you do that? Why? And he looks at me just like he does Paul, and he says, because my grace is sufficient in this situation. That's what you got. And my grace will cover everything else that's going on in your life right now. So when should I pray? Anytime you're feeling any of these things. The second question is this. Why aren't more people always healed when we pray? Why don't they all get healed? Because we pray with fervor. We pray with, I kind of think God can do some things, and so we pray. And the answer is pretty simple. We simply don't know what God's will is in everybody's life. We just don't. We don't know what's going on. God's not going to give you something against his will. God always wants what's best for you, but always what's best for you is not healing. Is that a smack in the face? I hope not. But when we trust God that it's his will, that he knows something else, that answers that question for a lot of us. God answers every prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait, and sometimes are you kidding? I believe that with all my heart. And some of you pray some things that he's going, what in the world? But he always answers. God allows sickness in our life. He allows cancer to come into our life. He allows car wrecks to happen. He allows things that hurt people horribly to happen. And so why does he do that? Why does God do that? Here's the answer to that question. Number one, because he wants to get my attention. He wants to redirect me because I get out of focus. Because when I get out of focus, I sometimes think that everything's just about me and not about him. And so he does it to redirect us. Psalms 119:71 says it this way, "It was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your decrees." Sometimes God has to put you on your back to get your attention. And I've been wondering that about in my life because my output, the way I live my life, has been cut in half. I am not who I was in March. I want to be, and I'm going to be. I'm claiming that God's going to do some healing, and I think with the doctors and all that, I believe that that's coming. But I tell you, from where I was in March to where I am right now, I'm a totally different guy. I run out of steam, and I'm going, what in the world? And what I'm learning, as while I'm going through that process, God is just filling me up and teaching me and teaching me and teaching me. As long as I'm open. I was madder than hornet for about a month, and I didn't get nothing. I was just like, why? I'm doing, this is what I want to be doing. God, you showed me, you told me. And he said, well, just lay on your back a little longer. Lay on your back. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Proverbs says that. I love it. It's 20:30. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Are any of you so stubborn that it's going to take a painful experience? I think maybe it might. I think maybe it might. You might get shut down in a way that you never thought you would. Think about that. This first reason is what the Bible calls sickness for discipline. Sickness for discipline. He allows sickness to come into our lives to discipline us, to say to us, hey, buddy, get some things in order. And you better believe right now I'm checking all the boxes because I want to get in line with God. And the question is, do you want to get in line with God? The second reason sometimes God allows sickness is a testimony for others. I want you to listen to this because I think it's an important one too. Did you know how important it is that God thinks that he can trust you with an illness? He thinks he can trust you with an illness, and he knows that you're going to be a good example to other people, especially unbelievers. So when you get sick or ill or something happens to you or others around you, start looking inward and saying, God, what do you want me to do here? What is it? And I'll guarantee you one of the things he doesn't want you doing is griping and complaining. Oh, me. Oh, my. Poor me. Philippians 1:12 says this. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has helped spread the good news. That's Paul. Paul's sick. He's in prison. He's in Rome. He's in a horrible place. He's lonely. He's damp. It's bad. He says, I want you to know what has happened. It was bad to me, but spread the good news. So big thumbs up. Big thumbs up. Paul teaches us that it's not always about, griping and complaining. I could spend a whole message on talking about this, and I'll say it like this. I've been walking with God for 57 years. Some of them have been good walks, some of them not. But some of the greatest witness you will ever see from unbelievers in your life is when you handle pain and illness in a godly way. It started for Brenda and I, and I've told you this story before, but I'll share it very quickly. We had a son that was born, and he was premature, and he was the joy of our life, and his heart was defective, and it was a horrible thing. It was horrible, and he died several days later, And we named him. He was part of our lives. We loved him very much. Many of you have gone through the similar things. But I cannot tell you how much God used that death to shape us, to direct us, to mold us, to move us forward in our lives. It made us a lot of who we are today. And there was people in that room. There was nurses, there was doctors, because of the way that Brenda and I went through it. Didn't say we weren't screaming and crying, didn't say we weren't upset, but the way that we handled our pain and our suffering, it made a difference in other people's lives. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying it to tell you that it makes, you got to be understanding that when God allows a pain in your life, it's there for a reason, and sometimes it's for somebody else, not just you. And that's hard to hear. It's hard to take, and it's hard to grasp onto. But I want you to really consider what I'm talking to you about today. I found it in my own life, time after time after time. And I've seen other people. I'm at people's houses and their places at their worst time, and they're just so upset. And so there's nothing wrong with being upset, but they're not leaning on God. They're leaning on their own understanding. And that's the difference. That's the difference that I see. And so if I had one piece of advice I could give you today, it would be that, is to lean not on your own understanding in the horribleness, but that you lean on God, and He will make your paths go forward. You remember Jesus went to heal Lazarus, who had died a deadly illness. And Jesus announced in John 11:4, he says this sickness will not end in death. It is an illness for the glory of God, to bring glory to the Son of God. Did you know that there have been illnesses in your life that God wanted to bring glory to Him in your life? The pain that you're going through right now, God wants to bring glory to Him in your life. Please grasp and grab onto that this morning. Number three, why does He allow it? Because He wants to take us to eternity. Otherwise, we'd all be alive, and we can't stay alive on this planet forever. It's not going to happen. He does it to take us to eternity. If you had enough faith and you'd never die, you'd end up living in this earth, and it wouldn't work. It's not the way He set it up. He set it up that as a man and woman is appointed a time to die. You're going to die. Hebrews 9 says this, 37, God has already appointed a time for each of us, so that's when we will die. That's the time, none else. So one of the reasons God allows illness is He wants to take you home. That's it. He just wants to take you home. And we have a hard time with that too. We have a very hard time with that. Then the last question that I want to part with you today is, before we go home, is this. Who can pray for healing? Who can pray for healing? Because this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? If you believe that Jesus works miracles, if you believe that He's alive, if you believe that He was a teacher, a healer, and a preacher, if you believe those things, then who can pray for healing? Do you have to be a pastor? Do you have to be an elder? Do you have to be the Pope or a missionary or somebody super holy? Nope. James says this. The earnest prayer of a believing person is powerful and it's effective. You got what it takes to pray for people. Don't let any demon tell you otherwise. Because it's not people that are telling you that, it's demons. Demons are telling you, you got no game. You tell the demon, go to hell. That's what I wanted to, I'm serious, I'm dead serious. Because He's in your mind. And He's in your mind, and He's in your mind telling you things about you that are untrue. There's so many things that He tells you are untrue. But one of the things He says is, you got no goods. You got nothing. And so what you do is you pray for somebody, but when you pray, you're probably not believing, because the evil one and one of his guys has gotten to you and made you say, He didn't do it over there. Do you know what turns most people away from God? Do you know why there's so many people right now that don't believe in God that are adults? It's because somebody special to them died. A parent died, a grandpa, a grandma, and they lose their faith. They lose their faith and they go away because if God, I prayed and he didn't answer, they walk away from God and they are angry and they first become a little agnostic. They then become a little bit anti-God. Then they become full scale, I don't believe there is a God. And that's the world that we're living in right now because they don't see any power coming from the power company. They don't see any power. What power is there? Oh, Jesus, please take care of them. Bless their lives. Well, bless your heart, but that's not what God talked about when he said, let's get it done, church. John 14 says this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, listen, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I'm doing. Even the greatest miracle that there ever was, because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name. I'll do whatever you ask in his name. Now, the truth of the matter is, you're going, Jeff, I don't see how we could do any greater works than Jesus. And I would say two caveats to that. The first is this. Think about the church and how powerful the church is because the church is here. The church is right down the road. The church is in the next county. The church is in the next state. The church goes all across. And one thing that Jesus couldn't do at that time when he was here was what? He couldn't pray for everything in the world. He couldn't heal everybody in the world. But who could? The church. Because it's global. It's the power company everywhere. And so, God, there's the first thing. You want to know how we can do something greater. There's one thing that we can do. Now, of course, Jesus can do that now where he is all over. He could have done it back then, but he didn't. He chose to be local. He was in the whatever zip code it was there where he was. That's what he did. That's who he was. And the second thing, I need to come back to this another day, but I'm just going to hit it really quick today. I believe it says in the last days that God is going to do some incredible things through children. He's going to do some incredible things through people that never, ever thought that they could do it. And I believe as the time draws near for him to come back, those people that really believe that, go look at some of the revivals that are happening around us. And they are. They're coming. They're getting people to come to Jesus. But I believe that there's a world that needs to see that power. And I believe he's going to give us that power. I don't know that it's there right yet. But I believe he's bringing it. And I believe there's something to do it. Is there people that do healing? Yes. Is there people in foreign countries that are doing incredible healings? Yes. Is there some in the United States? Yes. Yes. But we don't hear about them, and we don't see about those things too much. And so I ask you today to get in the boat and to say, I'm going to start praying for myself. I'm going to start praying for others. I'm going to be specific when I ask. And I'm going to do it in a simple faith, a simple childlike faith. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe that God doesn't. And if he doesn't, then he's saying, wait, yes, or no, or not right now. Not right now. So we got to stop losing our faith, because everything we've been talking about all summer is this rock solid faith that's built on Jesus, a faith that leads to healing. Whew, that's a lot of faith. That's a faith that has to have a jump to it. That's a faith that has to say, I'm going to go, I'm going to do, I'm going to believe what God says about me. And a lot of you don't believe that about you yet. Not yet. I believe you're going to. In faith, I believe that. So I want you to think about right now as we close. The band's getting ready to come. You can go on and come if you want. I want you to think about something in your own life that you may need a healing. Maybe you're here today and you need financial healing. Maybe you have just botched it up good. Maybe bad things have happened to you and you're financially, you're in a mess. Maybe you're here today and you're in depression. Maybe you're here today and there's worry and there's fear. Maybe you're here today and you're out of work. Whatever it is, I want you to think about, what am I going to give Jesus? What am I going to give to him and say, Jesus, I'm giving this to you. I need a healing in this regards. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds and I'm going to pray for you. And then the band's going to lead us in a song. And during that song, when the lights go down, I want you to start asking God to heal you in that specific area. And then if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, then I ask you to think about doing that. Next Sunday, we're going to have another baptism. It's really cool. We'll be glad to get you dunked. Be a great, great time together in the Lord. Let me pray for you. I'll give you a second or two just to think, because I put you on the back burner, but let's see what God does. God, I pray for faith. I pray for a large portion of faith for each person here today, for each person that's watching, for a faith that'll lead us even to the moment of saying, I'm going to pray for somebody to be healed, and I'm going to believe it. God, I pray you'll do a work in us. I pray you'll, that thing that we just offered you, she'll begin to heal that right now. If you do it instantly, God, in faith, we just ask you to do it right now. And Father, if it's something where you're saying, well, I'm gonna do it, but it's gonna be a minute. And God, help us to wait. Give us patience. God, give us your love and your mercy. We want your favor. But right now, we know that you want our obedience. You want us to be obedient. You want us to be the men and women and teenagers that you want us to be. So God, if there's anything in us that's not of you, we just give it to you. We love you. Do what you can do right now. In Jesus' name we pray.